Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning as we gather together in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. We ask of you today that you would glorify Jesus in our lives, and it would please you today, Father, to bring forth the work of your Holy Spirit in truth and in love. And to ask of you today that you would cause our hearts to be knit together in love, and that we would be fervent in spirit today. We ask of you for the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord Jesus, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're going to need Psalm 127. Today I'm going to be sharing with you the work of ministry with which we support, with far-reaching ministries. I'm particularly going to talk to you about Africa, where I just came back from, and the revival that has come to them this week as we were there. And Psalm 127 declares, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." Now, for those of you who were praying and that list that was passed out, thank you for praying. That's actually where we ended up yesterday on the prayer list, praying for that work that has been established and built. And the Lord's doing his work. And I bring back for you that which I have seen and heard. And I was sent over there. These were the verses that God gave me. I was sent over there to build up and encourage and equip and edify, and to labor in that building of the work of the kingdom that far-reaching ministries has already established, and this part that I, together with the other ten pastors who went, that we had a labor to do this year at the chaplain refresher course. And the other part that I was sent to do was to watch and pray. And that phrase there, "unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain," is through our prayers and watching this praying for the work that the Spirit desired to do. So I have the slideshow just going, and I'm not going to comment on the slides. They're just up there for you to get a good sense of what we had done. But I do ask for your ear today. Now, who here reads a proverb a day? Okay. I'd encourage all of you to seek regularly the wisdom that comes forth from God in the reading regularly and praying and going through the Proverbs day by day. Today is the 20th, and I offer this up to you from Proverb 20 today, and I offer up a few verses that I believe the Holy Spirit wants to bring forth in this context. And it's this: "Most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man?" Proverb 20, verse 6. And so I declare unto you that we have been called. Right? We have been called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to this city, and to declare the power of the salvation through the believing of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that sinners, right? That what's the sin? It's the sin of unbelief, because they don't believe in the Son of God who has come. And to have that conviction of the Holy Spirit in regards to the judgment, because Satan, the ruler of this world, was judged on the cross of Jesus Christ. He has no power, yet people follow his lies and deceit, and he deceives them into a life of not believing there is a God when the Son of God has clearly come. And as I describe this, most men will proclaim each his own goodness. I know promoters, I find promoters, I see those that promote ministries, many men building their own kingdoms. But I'm here to declare unto you that we are all about declaring the kingdom of the Son of God. And what I bring back with me from Africa is that which I went with. Okay, now I don't know if every man went that way, but Holy Spirit gave us very clear direction and instruction. And so why I thank you for your prayers is I come back just thankful for the Lord over what he's done. And I phrase it in this context, right? Proverb 20:12. "The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both." So I got a new job for you, Peter, back there. Right? And well, just come up and ask me afterwards. Okay? So I'm going to put you to work back there. You have the Holy Spirit? Okay. We'll work on that. Hearing ears, seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. I declare unto you that revival has come to the chaplains. Right? Revival came to the chaplains this week. The chaplain corps, they've had 11 classes of chaplains since the early 1990s. I don't know which year the first one was. But I bring this forth in this way because I believe in the spirit that I'm to exhort and encourage all of you as families. Because the prayer of the ministry and the state of the watching and praying of why I was sent there was seeing the great need for revival amongst the brothers of the chaplain corps. Many of them are active duty. Many of them are shepherding their units as they are deployed in various parts, especially in the north on the border with Sudan, up in the Nuba Mountains where those men are deployed. And again, the threats are very real up in the north. So they're leading people to the Lord. But now I introduce to you a couple of important things in the spirit. The hearing ear, the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. I'm asking for God to show you what you must do, that he would give you eyes to see, and he would give you ears to hear what the Spirit says. I brought in what the Holy Spirit gave me in my three sessions, the dead church of Sardis, the David church of Philadelphia, and the deaf church of Laodicea. And I declare boldly before you that revival came. Okay, Holy Spirit came upon us while we were there together, and here's the revival: to love and forgiveness. Again, and describing this, rather than taking vengeance through anger over those that have sinned against you, to rather in that place where you want to take vengeance and anger is in you, to forgive by the power of Jesus Christ. The men, the chaplains, were exhorted and encouraged to reconcile and to forgive because they are called upon to take the commandment of the love of Jesus Christ through his gospel to go forth, that the entire Sudan, so South Sudan and Sudan, right, which again, you can study history, that's a term applied to the people who live there, but biblically, Ethiopia, Sudan, South Sudan, in that region, biblically, they're Cush. They're the descendants of Cush from the Table of Nations way back in Genesis chapter 10. And this working of the Holy Spirit, believing and trusting, here's what I bring to you today, is watching and praying together with Wes and Vicky, the Bentleys, and what is to happen there with the ministry, and they're contemplating one more class of chaplains. Okay, they've done 11, and prayerfully, they're praying about doing class 12. The amount of support that it takes to train, provide for, and then continue in the deployment of the chaplains into the People's Army. Again, they began as the Sudanese People's Liberation Army. Now they're the South Sudanese Army, protecting them against the attacks in the physical realm of the enemy, but the class 12 would be sent out, and I believe this is also something that I ask your personal involvement to pray. Will you support a class 12 chaplain, your family? Will you as an individual, or you as a family, support, a monthly support and prayer, will you consider supporting a class 12 chaplain? Now, the class 10 accounts themselves, they call themselves the Big Ten. I think they were the biggest class of chaplains. You know, not that they're big, because I mean, the American pastors come over and we're big pastors. The chaplains are most of them are little pastors, except for the amongst the tall, the Sudanese, the smooth-skinned, tall people that Isaiah prophesies about. That's Cush. They're there. Now, why I say this in the Spirit is I believe in the Holy Spirit that Class 12 not only is going to happen, but it completes the work of the establishment of the foundation of the work that Far Reaching Ministries is to do through the chaplains in South Sudan. Now, why I describe it in this context is that the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. And verse 18 of today's proverb, plans are established by counsel, by wise counsel wage war. And verse 22, do not say, I will recompense evil. Wait for the Lord and he will save you. So I introduce to you the pastors that I am asking you to pray for. So the Ministry of Far-Reaching Ministries is in Uganda and in South Sudan. In South Sudan, they've done that through the chaplains. In Uganda, they have a refuge. For those of you who have studied history and followed in from the beginning of the introduction of those that were called the Lost Boys, those of the children who were being captured and forced to be soldiers in the LRA. Now, for you who have that understanding of that, they called themselves an army after the Lord, but it wasn't the Lord Jesus, in that they many times would force these young boys at 8, 9 to kill their families, and they would convert them into soldiers, and they would send them forth to kill. Many of the chaplains have the testimony of their time when they were captured by the LRA and how they got free, and how they've been saved and delivered. And my instruction to you is with this understanding, this place in Uganda that they call the farm. It might be one of the clear places that we can see truly in this world is a refuge. For many of those who were refugees who were needing, again, women's testimonies that we heard firsthand of how the LRA came in and took their kids away and then would kill some of the women and then rape them and treat them horribly, and many of those got away and escaped, and they needed a refuge. And this place in Uganda called the farm became a refuge for thousands of those that were fleeing from the armies, because the LRA, again, it wasn't just South Sudan, it was also into northern Uganda. And this refuge called the farm in Uganda, I bring forth for you, and again, write them down, Pastor Richard. He is the director there of the Far-Reaching Ministries. Holy Spirit knit our hearts together in love. And his wife's name is Susan. They both also came along to the chaplain's refresher course. And then Susan's mother, Susan had to go back home because her mom experienced some medical emergency, was experiencing a great amount of pain. And so she went back to care for her mom. So my part here, and I offer this up for the work of ministry at Uganda, they have a school there called Christ's Crucible. It's a boarding school, and there are hundreds, if not 1,000 children that are now going to school there, and they're learning the ways of the Lord from the beginning. They're being taught the Word of God, and many of the families in that live in Uganda and even in South Sudan send their children there. And so a very important part of the ministry there. And also there is a church called Calvary Chapel Canaan. Some of these pictures that you see of me in the home visits as visiting the church members together with an interpreter, visiting the families of the church of Calvary Chapel Canaan. And describing this, again, the pastor there, another pastor for you to write down, is John Carey. Pastor John Carey, he's the pastor of Calvary Chapel Canaan. That's located at the farm, so there's a school, there's a church. And in those home visits, again, I just remind all of you of the fellowship and love in the Spirit that is instant. So I'll talk to you a bit about Uganda and what I accomplished there by way of not my choosing. I remind you that I was invited there. I didn't know I was going. Didn't know much I loved the people of South Sudan and Uganda till I got there. But it was Pastor Richard who had chosen the topic, again, as he saw the teachings that I had submitted that I was going to bring, and he asked for the dead church. Now, they called it a small pastor's conference, and we were joking around. Those of you that know that pastor chick, he says, I'm a big pastor. Right? Does that mean it's all little pastors who are going to be there? And then took a little bit, and the Ugandans finally caught the joke, the difference between a big pastor and a small pastor's conference. But I want you to understand something, is that the conditions are ripe for the gospel and churches to be started. Far-reaching Ministries has a goal of starting, I think it's 2 churches a month, okay, through the chaplains in both Uganda and South Sudan. So as they set to start these churches and to have these men raised up, the needs are very great. And at this small pastors' conference, it was a conference of churches of the district, not only Calvary Chapels. And why I say it to you in this way is that I was able to bring forth the life, the things that have deeply impacted me in regards to the life and ministry of being Spirit-filled. I'm still getting used to all of you laughing at me when I'm talking seriously. I know that. I'm getting used to it. The work of Sardis, and you remember that it was 11 years ago that the Holy Spirit had revealed unto us, and I, again, the hearing ear. I heard the Holy Spirit say that we as a church were Sardis. We had a name that we are alive, but that we were dead. And then I've, you know, again, received these instructions from the Lord, and then how important the Holy Spirit to be Spirit-filled in ministry. The wisdom, the understanding, the counsel, the might, the knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. And sharing that with those churches, and again, in describing unto them, calling every one of those churches of various denominations. You have bishops, you have pastors, you have these churches that are there, and boldly in the Spirit, will you ask the Lord if you are the church of Sardis? And declaring unto them an ear to hear from the Holy Spirit. Now, what I want to impart with you there is to attach together now. They need revival. Okay, many of the denominations that are there are long-standing, and I spoke with Moses, who is in the cabinet of the president of the South Sudan government, and his title is he's the head of the Center for Religious Affairs. And he has a plan since 2005, seeing these things coming, and he's asking God to set before him an open door to use the chaplains, not just far-reaching ministry, but all the chaplains that are in South Sudan to bring about revival and to have churches in planted. He's asked since independence in 2011 that there should be 1,000 churches in South Sudan. So far, only 21 churches have been started in 13 years. Okay? And his word to me was, the churches are sitting back. Okay? They need revival. So both Uganda, together with those, again, the gifts of prophecy, and together with the other men that are there, and against bringing that word, that they need churches. And they need the power of the Holy Spirit. They need to be revived. Now, in bringing this forth, I want to share a couple things specifically related to the work of the Holy Spirit, bearing witness to the work that needed to happen and how revival came to the chaplains. So, 2 parts. The work in Uganda with Pastor Richard and Pastor John Carey, concerning the farm, right, which is a true refuge, the school, and the church that is there. They've already planted another church. Part of our group went to the church plant. Okay? So their intention is to keep doing 2 churches a month in that part of Uganda, as well as South Sudan. So in South Sudan with the chaplains, now I'm going to draw your attention unto the work of ministry there. The director there is named Pastor Michael. He is both the pastor of the church, get this, the name of the church, Calvary Chapel Cush. They understand who they are. Okay? Calvary Chapel Cush. Pastor Michael's married, his wife is named Beatrice. I don't have him set up for introduction, but coming up, I'm going to be putting together a missions update for you all, and I'll be handing it out, sending it out by email, so you can know who I'm talking about today. And Pastor Michael is the director of all the chaplains, and he's the pastor of Calvary Chapel Cush. He needs our prayers. Now, concerning the work of ministry that took place at the Chaplain's Refresher Course, Wes Bentley, the founder and, I guess you could say, the leader, the pastor of far-reaching ministries. Okay, he almost died a few years ago. Now, that's not necessarily common knowledge, but it's evident now that when you meet him, his time is short. Okay, the work is great. They're starting in Ukraine. They've done an amazing rescue in Afghanistan. When Edward was here in August, he declared those things that they've been doing. Wes wants to help all the people and the troubled places in this world, and he doesn't want to tell any of them no. Okay? His word to us, again, is like, most people don't understand how much it takes to have a class of chaplains. Okay? He is in great need of our prayers, and then I also would encourage you in our support. And this chaplain refresher course this year, these are the things the Lord sent me to do. The Lord is sending me to South Sudan to do this. Isaiah 44:3. For I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. I was sent to bring forth revival. Words of instruction concerning this work of ministry, concerning what has to happen and what is to take place. This is, again, a word of prophecy shared with me before I went. Praying for you this morning, praying for the preparedness for South Sudan, that you would be filled with all the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would know that the Holy Spirit is a living torrent within you, not subdued. Going as the power of a one-man team, even though you are going with Chick and the others, you have a different purpose, calling than them. The Lord will speak through you, use you differently than all those going to train chaplains. They all will be used differently too, praying that the work would not be hindered. Though there will be many adversaries, you have the one true source of power. All that tremble and quake, I'm reminded of Nehemiah in his work and the opposition he faced. The work was done all by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the testimony that I bring and share with you today is the testimony of how revival came to the chaplains. Okay? And for those of you who are hearing and knowing this, and this is how it has come. Through gifts of prophecy shared, hear from you. Right? I received them and I took them and I walked in them, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, on that last day, which was Tuesday, the last day of the conference, the work began in the sowing of the seeds that we should, again, in my first session of the dead church, prayed openly and boldly before all the men there, and prophesying that the Holy Spirit would come and he would revive the dry bones. Again, this is now 20 years. They've been in independence for 13 years. They have a great threat to them now of going lukewarm. And we need to understand that. When you're a soldier and in battle, you're sharp, you keep yourself trained. When the enemy has been defeated many times, that's the place where complacency can step in. And many of these men are called the pastor. And in that beginning of that session, together with the David Church, the cost of the open door, again, the cost of the open door is a life laid down. Do you hear that? The key of David, the cost to get that door open, is a man, right? Again, who will go there and lay down his life. If you think of the power of Jesus Christ, his power over Satan is the cross, where he laid his life down in love. And in that power of that open door that brought salvation to the world, the pastors. Again, those chaplains that are called to be pastors, and in order to get the door open to start those churches, to preach the gospel, to teach the word of God. The David Church, the key of David with the Church of Philadelphia, is a life laid down. And then the last session that I shared with them was the Church of the Laodiceans, where they are chastened. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And the Holy Spirit had given me a phrase to address the chaplains and the chaplains who will be pastors as sons of glory, and how that it pleased the Father, if you will. The cost of the obedience of Jesus Christ was his sufferings to bring many sons to glory. out of Hebrews chapter 2. Likewise, exhorting and encouraging that the key of David, of them men laying down their lives, carrying the cross, and counting the sufferings of the cross of Jesus Christ, counting the sufferings of this life, not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed, that many more sons should come to glory. Now in this, chastening of the Lord, together with the others who prepared the work, that revival could come. And the revival came on the not a one of those men and those pastors can take vengeance. Because that's the enemy's destructive tool to get a Christian not to forgive, but to revenge. That's what the cross is all about, isn't it? If we're honest, when Jesus says, our Lord says, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing, he didn't come to take vengeance, he came to save. Now's the time of salvation that Uganda, right, and South Sudan, beginning there in that work to bring salvation through the gospel. And listen, they need the Bible. They need the pastors to teach the Word of God, and the people need to read the Word of God. The schools are very important for the next generation. The pastors to teach and far-reaching ministries for that back in Uganda, for that group of pastors in that district, far-reaching ministries has bought them Bible study tools and distributed them freely to all the pastors of all the denominations in that entire district so that they can be more equipped to teach the Word of God to the people. Class 12. Chaplains, Class 12. I believe in the Spirit and declare boldly to you that this is the completing of the foundational work of the Chaplain Corps with far-reaching ministries. I'm going to declare unto you that in the Spirit, one of the other pastors was brought there to pray for revival and restoration. His name is Pastor Mike Yost. You see him on these pictures. You don't know him yet. But God chose him and all that work of preparation and working the soil. And again, I remind you, church, we were revived in January of 2024. And we saw the fruit of that revival here all the way into March concerning the revival that God has brought into your marriages through the calling the men to be in the light and in the armor of light. And we've seen this, and I remind you that we are in revival. And I was sent to bring revival and to bring about that work that God wanted to do. And he chastened his sons in the chaplain corps. I didn't chasten them, but our Lord chastened them over their not being reconciled to their brothers. Not being reconciled in their homes to their wives. Remind you, even though the culture in Africa might mean one, two, or three wives for the men, amongst the chaplains, they follow the biblical admonition because they are leaders and they're called upon to be deacons and elders, they're pastors, they're husbands of one wife. Or else they cannot serve as examples by being in that chaplain corps. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, and in that chastening of the that the sons faced was that they are to be reconciled and restored in love and fellowship to all their brothers. Now that may not seem like a lot to you, but many of the chaplains come from two long-standing warring tribes. But they're one. Their songs, and again, you don't hear the sound, but they're singing, "We are chaplains, we are one. We are chaplains, we are one." And I just remind you, this revival that needed to come was really about the love of God. So for those of you who have raised children, you know that the real effective part of bringing a chastening to your children is that you can bring them to obedience. And understanding how this work, again, together with the Church of the Laodiceans, if they do nothing at this time, that work which God has done will simply grow cold or it'll go lukewarm, and in that they'll end up with no fruit of ministry that should really arise out of this work that undeniably God has done for the kingdom of God to go forth. And I describe it in this way, in that chastening, that they would not be the Church of the Laodiceans in their lukewarmness, but that they should be hot. Pastor Chick's testimony of really the hardest day of, he says, of my life in ministry, when Satan, who had planned a 23-year plan to take him down and to get him to take vengeance upon the man who harmed his daughter greatly, and what he had planned to do, and he shared that testimony of how the Holy Spirit, again, brought him through in that temptation when he was going to take vengeance. He had other pastors telling him to take vengeance. He had other pastors saying, I'd quit the ministry if that had happened to me. He had other pastors, again, amongst our brethren saying unto him, I'd be mad at God if that had happened to me. His witness and testimony, and he was told to quit the ministry by many ungodly and unbiblical advice. And he didn't quit, and he didn't follow any of their advice. And he brought the second part of the testimony, which was the redemption. And took 10 years, but if fulfilling to the very detail how Kara was restored. Together with this plan that he didn't yield to the vengeance. That's why this verse is very important. And I need you to understand this. In that chastening and calling for reconciliation and not taking vengeance, here are the testimonies of revival. We prayed, right? God prepared the work, and it was for forgiveness and love. After that work, then the men were once again given the command to go forth in all the love of Christ, because that's the commandment. The commandment is love. Here's testimonies. After Pastor Chick's testimony of how he wanted to take vengeance upon the man who had done this, we met with a pastor who described that, again, his family members were telling him, a doctor took his daughter and performed an abortion on her without his knowledge or even without her will. But also, she almost died. And he was angry with that doctor. Okay, the issues are the same wherever we're at. Don't think for one moment that these things aren't the same this whole world over. That pastor met with him. He came up weeping, crying, praying, and the Lord delivered him, and he forgave that doctor. We had healings. Those that came up, again, praying for, and there's only a few pictures because why aren't there many pictures? Because we all were busy. We didn't have one to take pictures of this, but the men poured forth, the chaplains came forth for healing, forgiveness, and there was a great work of revival. Now, Proverb 20:12, the hearing eye? No, the hearing ear? The Lord has made what? The seeing eye and the hearing ear. I saw revival and I heard revival. My word to the chaplains, because to that dead church, or the deaf church of the Laodiceans who didn't hear the knock on the door, but they already weren't listening to the word of God. I remind you, we as a church are revived. We're full on. My word to you concerning the chaplains there is I simply could tell the chaplains, I heard the knock on the door. I'm hearing what God wants to do. And God wants to bring revival. So after the first session in the morning, which was devotions, the man who was called upon to pray for revival had the morning devotion. And after his session, I began to tell everybody in our group, we're having revival today. We're having revival today. We're having revival today. Now, this is not the, build the tent and call for a tent revival meeting and then you'll have it. Not that. This is the Holy Spirit revealing and all the work that he prepared for that on that day, on Tuesday, we were going to have revival. If I do not speak openly and boldly by the power of the Holy Spirit concerning the prophecies that he has given and spoken and what the Spirit wants me to say, that doesn't happen. I was exhorted and encouraged that the torrent of water that, again, the Holy Spirit has done with us here, that's why I'm being sent there to bring forth that work. And I remind you, remember January? I said, if we just think we can make gradual changes and everything's going to get better over time, that's wrong. We were called to revive instantly by recognizing our great need, not for a gradual change, but for a supernatural, again, repentance change that brings about this work of reviving. What is revival? It's to bring back to life again. And at that point of the chastening of the sons over them not being reconciled with one another and the hatred in their heart to take vengeance upon another, I could have Pastor Chick stand up and describe how hot he was when what that man had done to his daughter and what Satan meant to use that to destroy his life, that instead of acting upon that vengeance when he was hot, he used that hot to forgive. It's the power of the cross. The lukewarm church of Sardis, of Laodiceans, was that they just let that hot sit there and never acted upon it. The action is forgiveness. Okay? Now, describing this, the very cool, refreshing love that Pastor Mike Yost brought in the devotions, and I had him stand up and encourage all the men that they all needed to be refreshed in the truth of the love of God for them, but also for one another. And there was a restoration of the fellowship that is very vital. Because of that group of men who are called upon to pastor and to go out and to preach the gospel, to express that love for one another. The commandment is love. The closing session brought by Pastor Corey was the commandment to love one another as Christ has loved us. Greater love has no man than this, than he laid on his life. Now that they had been chastened, the command could be received. Eyes to see, ears to hear. And I saw revival. And I heard the testimonies of the many men who came forth and declared in the Spirit. And the men there, the stories began to come in to the pastors. Pastor Richard, I met with him the last night, and we were just talking about this work of the Holy Spirit. And he described unto me that many reports are now coming back amongst the chaplains of the reconciliation and the restoration. Pastor Chick's testimony, together with his daughter Kara, his wife Kimberly, and their son-in-law Danny. How Danny had stole her away at the time when the perp was getting out of jail, and she ran in fear. And there was a man there to take her away who would not wait and didn't ask. When we were in Israel together, it was all restored. To the detail of what the Holy Spirit had shown Kara when she was 15 years old, that she would be married on the Sea of Galilee on Pastor Chick's friend's worship boat, and that I would be there to officiate their wedding, and that her choice for the maid of honor would be there. The Holy Spirit arranged all those details when we were together in Israel, and all the men who were scoffing and mocking and saying that she should not wait, that's not true, just be glad she's marrying a Christian. These are the things he was hearing. And the Holy Spirit was showing him that these things must be restored. We all bore witness, those of us who were on that Israel trip, together with what Pastor Chick shared in that second thing. Guys, it's the Holy Spirit. Now, here's where I talk to us. Okay? The Holy Spirit wants you to be reconciled and restored in your marriages, in your ministries, and amongst your family, and amongst the brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. You've been given a ministry of reconciliation. It requires repentance, again, and then reconciling the differences so you can have restoration. Few Christians ever get through to restoration. Most of them follow the ungodly, unbiblical, philosophy of mankind-based devices, saying just quit, or it'll never happen. Not believing that the Holy Spirit can show what he's going to do and he can bring about the work. I know that the men who are at the men's conference can, if they'll be honest, we have a truth to bear witness unto, that the light of the truth shined into all of our hearts to confess the hidden sins and darkness that were being done by the men who were at the men's conference, and to come and confess those sins and to come to the light. And there's been a great work here. We have the witness and testimony. It's the Holy Spirit that does that work. Now I set before you and restate to you this wonderful, clear vision that God has given us. That by the work and power of the Holy Spirit, we should have a Calvary Chapel, again, the church that teaches the Bible, and through the power of the Holy Spirit goes forth to transform people's lives in Fargo, right? Grand Forks, Devil's Lake, Williston, okay, and then I got to get back to Bismarck, Mandan, and then Valley City, Jamestown, and Wahpeton. Okay? Will you listen to the Holy Spirit? Will you hold to what the Spirit says to you, and will you obey Him? Now concerning Class 12, Chaplain's Corps. Okay, here's what I propose. Can you pull up frmusa.org? If you can make that happen and put that up. Don't do it on the phone, do it on the full version of the website. And go ahead and write that down, frmusa.org. That is the website for far-reaching ministries. Everybody remember Edward from August? Okay, friend of mine. Okay, become friends. Oh, the other part, Holy Spirit had me give prophecy for Wes and Vicky while they were there. Holy Spirit showed unto me as I was watching and praying for them in the ministry the very words He wants to hear when He meets the Lord. Okay? And I remind you, I believe this 12th class has to happen in the Spirit. Again, as I'm asking you to pray and consider this work of the Holy Spirit concerning each and every one of our families, again, together as a church, will you pray about sponsoring, again, supporting one of the Class 12 chaplains? Click under the give or mouse over the give. Right, and then you'll notice there, sponsor a chaplain. Go mouse down to that and it's right there. Yep, click on that. Okay. Now, scroll down. And you see where it's highlighted there? Here's where you sign up if you want to do that. Now, you can wait if you want and pray. Again, pray and wait. But here's what I'm going to be doing. Okay? This revival that has come to the chaplains, I have a work that I need to restore many to my pastor and my pastor to many. So I have a work to restore him to those, some of those men who spoke all those words contrary to what the Holy Spirit had said to him. And they have a choice to make. Listen. If you speak against the Holy Spirit, you have a choice. You can stay with what you thought and how you spoke in your own words, and you can hold to them, and you can be separated from your family members and those in ministry, and you can count other people wrong, and you can be separated from them. Right? In sin, by the way. Or you can be reconciled to this by humbling yourself and repenting and saying, I was wrong. Will you forgive me for saying all those things to you which were not of God? And I see that God has fulfilled this, and I trust and believe that you've heard from God, and I want to be restored to you. Will you forgive me for saying all those things in my own words rather than by the power of the Holy Spirit and what He said? Okay. Listen, we must complete the work of revival here into our homes that were revived unto the truth of God's word and the love. And we've been given here an opportunity, an open door is set before us in the city to bring people to the gates of love and truth through the preaching of the gospel that they could enter in. And yes, it gets messy because you have to work on the sin in people's lives and dig those things out and bring them to Christ Jesus as you share the gospel. We've been called upon to share the gospel with the Muslims that have moved here, with the Hindus that have moved here. Okay, we've been called upon to preach the gospel to the pagans, and then to the heathens, to the drunkards, to the homeless, to the homosexual, transgender, sexual immoral community. And not alone in this work, but we are listening to the Holy Spirit. And will you join me together in my prayers to get the open door invite at the Holy Spirit's opening miraculously where the mosque says, will you come and tell us all about the Son of God? I've been bold and open about those things. But here's what I'm going to be doing with Class 12. I'm going to start my support now in faith. Okay? And on the information line, I'm going to start with Class 12 chaplains. Because I believe the Holy Spirit has shown and has spoken that Class 12 must happen. The other thing is, the man who will take this next step in this leg of completing that Class 12, it's not Wes. Wes is going to be training the man and equipping the man who will go forth and do the things that he has been doing there. He's going to be concentrating in Ukraine, and he's going to be completing this ministry. So I need you to pray for that man who would be, again, by way of prophecy, his right-hand man or the son of his right hand, if you will, to take that class 12. Our part is to pray, and if the Holy Spirit talks to you about supporting a chaplain, my effort here is for you to pray and hear the Holy Spirit that says, we're not the Church of Laodicea. We're not rich and wealthy and have need of nothing, and we're only thinking about ourselves. We see the great need, and we are poor and needy, and this work that needs to happen there in the outermost parts. Part of the call for us this year in our revival was that the come alive was to happen in every one of the cities we went to, but there is to be a calling to come alive even in the outermost parts. This is the Holy Spirit talking to us about East Africa. Right now I'm praying about going back in March. I don't know why, except the Holy Spirit is saying that to me. I didn't think I was ever going back. I don't want to go back, but I'm open to what the Holy Spirit would say. Now, in describing this, and again, just open on it, transparent, as again, I'm just like I can tell every one of the pastors who came with us, and some of them didn't even know it or believe it, but I told every one of them, we're having revival today. I told Wes today, on that day, I said, Wes, we're having revival today. I said, those of you, all those years of prayers, you've been praying for revival amongst the chaplains, we're having revival today. We're having revival today. Now, what I'm saying to us now is that we as a church are to complete the work here in North Dakota and get those churches in every one of those cities and to have that work finished and completed. From there, we'll reach the other places. Our work together in Mexico, I haven't forgot about that. Okay, that continues. That's going to grow. But we're once again reconnecting us for works that we had done with far-reaching ministries in years past. And I recognize God's calling us by the Holy Spirit to have a very integral part here as they're in transition. Why would I be called upon to go there? Because of the work that the Spirit's been doing with us here. Now, I've testified to you that there are many churches of Laodicea now in the world. And within Calvary Chapel, many churches of the Laodiceans that are lukewarm. I remind you, we are not lukewarm, we're not dead. Okay? This is to be the place where people come to be saved. So here's my plan already is that I'm preparing every one of our Nehemiah homes to sprout. Okay? We will be going to two services pretty soon. Okay? We're going to need children's ministry servants at both services. Our children's ministry is going to double. Okay? These things are coming, and they're coming soon. The intern program to raise up pastors and train and equip those seven men that I'm asking God to give me, the intern program is going to begin in January. I was thinking about getting it started reviving it again, and I was going to do it right away this next month, but the way I want to do it and prepare for it and pray for it, and I say unto you, you believe that you're working out what is God calling me to do. The intern program's for you. It's intern for ministry. Men and women are encouraged to apply. Okay? And I will be getting that information out to you. By faith, I'm going to start supporting class 12. Okay? By faith, I believe the Holy Spirit has given me a task to have my pastor restored to those men who are still in Calvary Chapel who spoke all those things contrary to the Holy Spirit and are stubborn. They'd rather count chick wrong than humble themselves. So there's a work of restoration that needs to be done. Listen, we're ambassadors called to reconcile people to Christ. 2 Corinthians 5. I'm laying this forth in that work that we need to do. Our Lord can come back at any moment. You know how I want to be found? Occupied with my Father's business and His kingdom. We're not establishing new Kush, a kingdom of this world, but I set before all those chaplains, could you imagine an Africa free from Islam? Could you imagine an Africa saved? Could you imagine an Africa freed from the satanic philosophies? And you see how communism has ripped through Africa. Has for years. The things that we're facing here are the same things that are going on in the whole world, and we have a work to do. By the Holy Spirit, we have a work to do. So, if you've come here today and need to be saved, we prayed today that if you have not been born of God through faith in Jesus Christ, you haven't been born of the Spirit, and that you're convicted that if you died today, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell. And if you're wondering because you don't know that assurance of that answer, then I ask you to stand up today. that if you're convicted that you don't know if you're born of God, you don't know if you're saved from sin, hell, and death, I invite you to stand up today. Okay? And you do need to take a stand because this is the beginning of your testimony of Christ Jesus. And to stand before one another in the body of Christ and say, I need to be saved from sin, death, and hell. That if I died today, I don't know if I'd go to hell or not. Because hell is a place of eternal torment. There's not a living person alive who God wants to send there. But if you do nothing with Jesus Christ in the sin of unbelief, you don't believe and receive that he is the Son of God and that he came to save you from hell, that's a sin of unbelief. Oh, he came, he died, rose again, all the power to save, but it comes by way of the preaching of the gospel, which I'm doing right now, the good news that is in Jesus Christ, that under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, say, I need to be saved. And if that's you and you can recognize, I hear the voice of the Spirit convicting me that I need to be saved from sin. And you're hearing that, that's the Holy Spirit saying to stand up today. So if that's you and you're hearing God, stand up. Maybe it's somebody listening online today as well. And you come across this later and you hear that and that's for you. And you call out to be saved. Very basic. It doesn't have to be an elaborate prayer, but if you admit and you have that conviction, I'm a sinner, Jesus, save me. All who call upon the Lord shall be saved. So, Father in heaven, we commit today unto you the work of the Holy Spirit, the revival that came to the chaplains, and that we bear witness and testimony that the work that you sent me to do happened. And we ask that this would continue, that there would be revival for Pastor Richard and Susan at the farm, and for Pastor John Carey. They would experience the revival of the Holy Spirit. We ask and pray for Michael, for Beatrice, that the revival would come to Calvary Chapel Cush and with the chaplains. And we pray that revival would come and the finishing of the work to accomplish Class 12 and all the support, all the money that is needed, all the teachers that are needed, and the ministry of the Word to teach those chaplains the Bible in 1 year. That you would provide, the teachers, that you would provide this work of the Holy Spirit. And I ask, Lord, that you would provide Wes, that man who is to take that work over, that he could entrust, that would serve as he in the gospel, and you would send him a Timothy, as it were. And you would show him who that Timothy is to finish this work, to have Class 12 happen. Lord, we pray for this work of salvation to begin with us here in a going forth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to bring salvation to our city and to the cities of North Dakota, that the power of the Holy Spirit would come upon your servants here and we'd hear the Spirit and we would see who you are and we would see clearly the work that you've called us to do, that you would give the where. I pray that you would give the callings and the where for those here that are to be sent out. We ask that you would also provide for a Calvary Chapel Moorhead and a Calvary Chapel West Fargo and two more Calvary Chapels in Moorhead. Lord, we ask that this work of the Spirit through the Word of God transforming the lives of God's people would continue. And we call upon you to give the Holy Spirit to us today. Give us your Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.